Well, good afternoon, good evening, and good morning, depending on where you are in the world. And welcome in to another episode of The Buddhist Biohacker. And we have been doing our Diamond Beauty segments this year, which is so fabulous. And really, I see this high heart center as this crystalline turquoise diamond. And it just came to me after last year, all these incredible women, and I kind of settled on about 33 women that I thought really represented that energy, the energy of the seat of the soul and the high heart and that crystalline energy, and wanted to honor them and have them be a part of this. And so we are here tonight with another Diamond Beauty, Aimée Cartier. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's truly my pleasure to be here.
Oh my gosh. I just love you so much. I'm so happy to see you. And it's actually, you have such a warm, like soft, compassionate energy. So you're like the perfect person for me to talk to at the end of my workday today.
I love it. Thank you.
Oh gosh. And welcome to everybody in the live. I see lots of you guys joining in already. You can absolutely use the comment box. I would love to hear how you're feeling tonight. We've had three live shows today. So some of you guys have been warriors all day watching all the shows. So I'd love to hear one word. How are you feeling this evening? It's Thursday evening, and share where you're from. And if you have questions for Aimée or myself, throw them in there too. And how are you doing, Aimée? Let's start out with just how are you and what are you up to and what's going on today? And
yeah, I'm doing well. Things are good around here in my parts. I'm trying to think of what to say specifically. Things are good. Well-rounded. My kids go to an outdoor school, so they're back in school. They're in school, and I'm able to work on my projects and see my clients and things. So overall, I'm good over here.
That's good. That's good. And welcome in. We have Heather from Superpower Consulting. Hi, Heather. Her word of the evening is energized. I love that. That's pretty exciting. I love that. So, you know, you've been on the show a few times, and most everybody in the community knows who you are, but we have so many new people in the community. So I want you to take some time just to share who you are and what you do to everybody who's new to you.
All right. My name is Aimée Cartier, as Lisa said. I'm a psychic and an author. I do readings, typically 30, 45 minutes or an hour readings. Generally, people come to me when they're at a crossroads for readings. I'm really always clear about, I always set my intention to only receive information that's in my client's highest good. So that is always really the focus of my readings in terms of getting people the information that is best for them, that allows them to really move in the direction that feels and is the absolute best for them. So that's one aspect of what I do, just seeing clients doing readings. And then I'm also the founder of something called Intuition University and Empath Intuition University. And the two are sort of separate because with my empath program, my Empath Intuition University, I offer that twice a year. One is in progress, about to be finished, and then the next one starts in March. And it's really a program exclusively for empaths. Empaths are people who feel other people's emotions, sensations inside their own skin as though it is them. And it's a very specific thing. It can be really overwhelming to be empathic, especially, I mean, it can always be overwhelming, but this particular time period that we're in provides its own challenges at this moment. And so I teach my students, my empaths, through a 4 or 7 month program, depending on when they start. We either meet every week or every other week via conference call. I teach them really how to manage their ability so that it's not totally overwhelming as a great thing that happens is that also they really get to know who they are. It sounds maybe funny if you're not empathic, but for an empath who's dealing all the time with all the things, everybody else's feelings and energy, it can be really hard sometimes to discern, wait, who am I? Because you feel it all. So they're able to manage their ability. They're able to discover who they are. They're able to, I teach practices in order to keep you balanced and feeling whole so that you know what to do when you feel like you get off, as happens to everyone. And then, you know, we go into toward the end, we're just at the end right now with my empath. So practical uses, there are a lot of really amazing things about being empathic. And once you know how to manage your ability, then you get to get the fruit of it. So that's the one thing that I do. And then the other thing is my Intuition University. And I see students either privately, I do a roughly 6-month program with them. And that's super dialed to who they are, what they want to use their intuition for, precisely how theirs works. Everybody is a little different in terms of how you get intuitive information, how things happen for you. So that one is really very specific and dialed to the person. And then once a year, I do an Own Your Intuition program. And again, this one is 7 months, so we're still in the one that started last year. And this is really, I teach all the tools that I use in order to get to use my intuition as a precision instrument, so that it's not just like a random thing that happens, but I have a lot of tools that I use in order to use it to discern certain things at certain times. So in this program, I teach all of those because I really feel like everybody can do this. It's not just me or, you know, people that do readings, not people who are psychics for a profession, but that everybody has this innate sense, intuitive sense. And once you know the tools and how yours is working all the time, and you start to understand exactly how yours works, I really feel like it's, for me, it's such an important sense because it guides you. Your intuition is always guiding you toward whatever is best for you. It's really designed to help you flourish. So that's why I teach this, because I want as many people as possible to understand that they already have these skills and that they can use them for whatever's up in their life.
So. Oh my gosh, I love it so much. I'm sorry, my lighting is driving me bonkers, you guys. I think I'm gonna be dark because I just can't. I can't, you know, when you get to like too much light and electronics and everything. So hopefully you guys can deal with this. So I want to know, Amy, what do you feel is different energetically about 2021 than 2020? Because it feels like it definitely shifted. So I'm just curious what you're feeling as we start this brand new year.
Yeah. Well, I felt a huge lightening. I feel like it feels to me like scintillating possibilities exist where you know, we've been for the last year kind of in this last year, especially in this sort of ever increasingly shut down space. And this year, I feel it's really different to me. It feels full of possibility. Nothing has really landed yet, but there are, the only way I can describe it is to say the same word over and over again, possibility. But it also feels like there's this, we've made it through such like incredible and really intense times, like one kind of after another over the last year. And I feel collectively that we're all stronger and more resilient. And, you know, at the start of the pandemic and all these things, especially, it was really shut down and narrow. And now we're kind of like, okay, we can handle this. We know what we need to do. And there's change afoot for some of the bigger things that have come out of this time, the things that, you know, need to be changed in a society way and specifically with us. And I just feel all of that energy really percolating. It's sort of like the beginning stages of a project to me. That's how it feels. Like ideas are being thrown out. We're moving in certain directions. And even if it's a lot of it is still happening behind the scenes, it feels to me like that's the energy of, that's how I feel this year so far.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. I feel like it's like we can open the windows and the doors and let the fresh air in or something. It feels totally different. So I agree with you. And I love what you're saying about like the possibilities and the newness and the beginning of new things. It feels like, you know, there's in numerology, there's like the 9-year cycles and it feels like we're in that 1-year energy, even though we're not. I mean, numerology wise, we're not, but it feels that way. So I agree with you. What do you have going on this year? Like, so you have your university, you have all your classes. Are you tackling anything new this year?
Well, I have had a couple, more than one book project that I have really wanted to work on. And it's been, some of them are in the, sorry, my phone is ringing.
That's okay.
Some of them have been in the hopper for a while in terms of a lot of it is even related to what I teach. Like one of the things is an empath book, and so much of this is already documented in some way because of it's all the documents and things that my students get in my programs. But they have been in my want to do for quite a while. And this last year I have two children. And so with homeschooling, with partially, you know, sometimes it was full homeschooling, sometimes it was partial, depending on what was going on. It just was not possible. There just was no space for anything other than mothering and caring for our family and, you know, seeing the clients on my schedule, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have really any time in the last, you know, year really for these creative projects that have been percolating for a really long time. So, my empath book is one of them. And I feel the same way in that same sort of percolating stage. Nothing is exactly solid yet, but I feel myself really pulling in a lot of different creative avenues and ways of expression in terms of these than just written words on the page. So that's been really fun just to see like what maybe drawings are going to be in this or what images and or songs that are related to these particular topics. So those have been kind of fun. And then I also on the side, kind of when I'm not doing my work and mothering, I'm also really involved in my kids' outdoor school. And I love it so much. I just think it's so important for so many reasons. And so I have little pet projects around that particular, I consider it a movement, like something that we can all, that, you know, it's not unheard of to have outdoor schools at this point, but I feel like there could be so many more. And so,
I want to know what is an outdoor school? Like share a little bit. I'm curious about all of this. So,
yeah. Well, this year they're 100% outdoors. Mostly they're usually outdoors anyway. So meaning they don't go into, there's no building that they go in and sit at desks all the time. In previous years, it's a farm school or it's on a farm. So they have 7 acres and it's really place-based learning. So the children learn all, you know, the things that other kids learn in elementary school, but they're down by the pond with magnifying glasses, looking at things. They look at all kinds of topics from social justice. They're in their Black Lives Matter unit right now to permaculture, to how things work, to geology, you know, all the things, but they do it in a really hands-on way because they're outside. It's not just like looking at a book and learning about that. It's tracking the waterways on the land and seeing how they're different seasonally and what's happening.
Oh, wow.
And these kids are just so rough and tumble. I mean, it rains here all the time in the winter and they're just like, get on there. Like it's dumping out. I mean, dumping. And I have two kids and they're the rest of their friends too. They're just like, get on the rain pants and like head out for 6 hours in the whatever's happening. So,
wow. I mean, there
are structures that are roofed, but not walled. But I guess the reason why it feels so important to me is all of these kids have such a connection to the earth, to the planet. And it's not some abstract thing that they read about. It's something that they feel and are involved in every day. And I just feel like if more children, if even adults, not just children, but if more of us were out in these spaces, there would be so much less disconnect between how we treat the earth and, you know, there's more of an understanding of how we're all connected when you're mm-hmm. in it, and you're just living it. So I love it. It's something near and dear to my heart and, it's a special place. So.
Yeah, that sounds really awesome. You know, my stepkids are in a charter school and so they don't have those kinds of experiences, which I think sound amazing. But it's still like, I think there's a lot that can be done with conventional education. So I love hearing about this program because I think it's so important to learn things experientially, I think, rather than just reading it in a book, you know? there's a different way of understanding it. So I love that so much. That's cool. How many outdoor schools are there in the nation? Do you know?
I have no idea, but this is, there's a lot of, it's been a burgeoning movement to have outdoor preschools. This is an outdoor primary school. So I don't know how many there are. I know we're not the only ones, but you know, again, they're few and far between. I feel like it's a lovely moment where what's happening in the world is sort of reflecting even what, how this is necessary. Like in other pandemics and, you know, 100 years ago, the last pandemic, kids had outdoor school. They were outdoors, even in New York where it's snowy and all these things. So to me, there seems like sort of a crux between something that has existed for a while. Like we, my kids have gone to this school for many years and something that the world needs right now as well. So it's been, you know, kids are, you know, there's so many kids that are online and at home and really disconnected. And I'm just so grateful my kids are still playing with their friends and they're getting all their lessons and they're able to be fully in their body during this time that's so unusual for all of us.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Hope, hi Hope. She shared her word would be exhausted, but still grateful. She said she's trying to make it through a yucky divorce. Yikes. And Karen, hi Karen. Karen Lazone is another diamond beauty of ours. And she's written such beautiful articles sharing the stories of all of these women. And you can find those at lisamgunshore.com and soon on her blog as well. So we're just excited to share all these stories. So a special thank you to you, Karen, who's listening. And, you know, Hope brings up a good point, you know, being exhausted. Like, what are some of the tools and tricks you share and teach to help with feeling exhausted? Because it's far more, as you know, than not getting a good night's sleep. It's all the energy of everything that we carry. And there's so much happening in the world too. And this year is really fast paced, I feel. I feel like it's really fast moving energy. So I think we're going to feel some exhaustion. So it's a great thing to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially after, you know, it's kind of a long ongoing journey we've all been on for the last year with the pandemic and things. So I think the first thing that it occurs to me to mention is that small things really matter. I think it feels like even when I teach this, how integral self-care is to a properly working, highly functioning intuition, you absolutely need to be maintaining yourself. You need to be caring. You need to be considering. You need to be doing the things, not just like reading the meme that says, oh, self-care is where it's at or whatever, and then never doing it, you know, continue scrolling and not doing the thing. It's not enough to know. You really have to do it. Really have to do it. But what I always like to say, or what comes up in my classes when I teach about this, is that truly tiny things really add up. They like really make a difference. So it doesn't have to be a giant, like, you know, a revamp of your life. And certainly for a lot of us right now, that's just not even possible with, if, especially if you have kids, you're just doing what you need to do to keep everybody happy and going. But small things add up. So like tiny ways that you can find to care for yourself. Like actually one of them that I discovered recently, is I always have I put water by my bedside before I go to bed. And what I discovered recently is that this is a super small thing, but it literally makes a difference. If I do it a few hours before I go to bed, I had this sense of being so cared for, because usually when I go to bed, by the time I decide, I'm like, well, I'm really ready for bed. And then I have to brush my teeth and get my water. And there's just like a bunch of little niggly things that I need to turn off the salt lamp in the living room, like whatever the little things are. And even something as small as literally on my way past my bedroom a few hours earlier, just setting my water in place has an effect in my being. It feels, wow, I feel like nurtured and cared for. And I'm not like doing it at the end when I'm so tired and I just really wish I could get in bed, but I want my water because I don't want to get up in the middle of the night, whatever, all those things. So, that's just one example, and it's a tiny example, but I give it because it matters. They add up. One little thing like that after one little thing like that is makes a difference in your being. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that I think Karen mentioned this in her we talked about it, Karen and I, when she was writing up an article, but one of the things I did in the last year when my kids were at home for homeschooling, I instituted this thing. I mean, that's a bigger word than it was. It wasn't like an instituting thing. Anyway, I called them joy breaks. And I would say to my kids, I'm on a joy break right now. For the next 20 minutes, I'm going to do something that brings me joy. And I'm not going to make you a snack or, you know, I'm not going to be on call as you are when you're a mom of small children all the time. Mm-hmm. So, but it was just a short time. I would usually lay on our bed and in my bedroom, read a book. Like on a rare occasion, I would take a little nap, you know, and it was literally just a small 20-minute thing gave me so much of an energetic boost for the math or whatever was my kids and I were working on in terms of their homeschooling or making more snacks or whatever it was. So I think we kind of tend to underestimate that it's actually not that hard to care for yourself. It's just a really simple little things that go along that feel good to you. And can, if you check in and then put it into play, they make such a difference. 20 minutes can make such a difference. Or that tiny thing of like putting my water at my bedside before I go to bed. It's like such a small thing, but it makes me feel nourished.
I love that. You know, it's funny, Lauren was on this morning and she was also talking about self-care and how it's not really about the manicure. It's about like, you know, really loving yourself. And I love what you're saying. And it makes me think of, I think for me, I went through my Ayurveda training last year. And one of the things that you do in Ayurveda is Abhyanga, which is self-massage with oils. So it's oiling the skin and oiling the body. And I'll tell you what, like, I can't live without doing that almost every single day. And it's like one of those little things like you're talking about where it's like, if I take a salt bath to like clear out my energy and then coat my body in like warm oils, like I just, it's such a nourishing thing. And when you go to bed, it's like, oh, I took care of my whole body today. Like I made my whole body better and feel good. And it's just really amazing. So I love what you're saying. I'd love to invite you guys that are watching and listening, like share what's your one thing. I want to know what your one thing is that you do to nourish yourself, right? And if you can't think of it, you need to self-care a little bit more. You want to, I think. But I'd love to hear what that is. So that's really, oh, that sounds so good. You know what else is really good is like a really good apple. Do you like apples?
My son would agree. Totally. I'm more indifferent to apples, but my son would totally agree.
I think sometimes I'm not a big fruit person, but sometimes it's like I just want like an apple. Like there's something very traditional about that.
Yeah. They're satisfying crunch, I feel. Yeah. Like you dig in the first bite.
Yes, there's something about it where it's like really good. My littlest loves apple skin. She wants you to cut all the skin off and like eat the skin, which is pretty wild for a little kid. Usually they don't want the skin. So it's kind of funny. She like loves that. But anyway, I'm totally digressing. But so in your book, you talk about all sorts of tools and we've talked about them here on the show, but I thought it would be fun. Like what's one tool you never talk about? Like, is there like a hidden tool in there where it's like, huh, this is something that like we don't think about being very important, or maybe it's not as cool as the other ones, you know?
That's a good question. I'm trying to, well, I guess I would, I have it in my hand. Here's my book, you guys. This is my copy, so it has all my little notes in it. I think what I would, so I break it down into four steps that anybody can use. It's really easy to get answers. It's called Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. And I wrote it because I wanted everybody to know, similarly to why I teach, you don't have to be a professional psychic in order to get answers. anybody can, literally. So I break it down into four steps and then four what I call secret ingredients. But actually what I would like to talk about is the fourth step. It's the very last one and it's called ACT. Just ACT, ACT. And I think the reason why I want to talk about it is because a lot of people get intuitive information and then they don't necessarily move forward on it. It makes me think of many years ago, I did a reading for a woman who, it was super unusual. This is a very rare occurrence, but I did the reading and she knew, like my favorite readings are when people are like, oh, that's the message I'm getting too. And it makes me so happy because they're getting the messages. I'm just the confirmation for them. And then we did another one, like within a short span on the same exact questions. And she just she was cognizant of this too. She was basically like, I just sort of need this repeated. Like, can we just go over it again? You know? And she was getting the same message. In this case, it was related to some choices she was making about massage school and things like that. But what I said to her is that then the same thing that whole chapter is about is if you don't do the thing that you know you need to do, the way that your intuition is pushing you, the direction that you feel in your being is the one for you. If you don't do it, you don't get the goods. You never get the thing that it is that that it's driving you toward, it could be anything from like a new house or a book that you want to write, or it could literally be anything, whatever it is that you're doing. If you're getting intuitive information and you're never doing anything about it, then it's basically sort of like sitting in a chair and spinning the same spin over and over. You have to get up off the chair when you know what direction to go and move in that direction. And the other kind of add-on that I would mention about it related to something that isn't, I feel like it's so valuable to understand, but not maybe talked about a lot, is that your intuition, generally, it provides you with the next step. So that doesn't, like most of the time, you're not getting the whole picture. You're not getting, go to this place because you're going to meet somebody who's going to have the perfect thing for you and all of these other things are going to line up. You don't get that information. You just get, oh, I feel like I should go there right now, or I should do this thing, or I should call that person, or et cetera. So I think it's so valuable to just keep remembering that, like for almost like even I, my intuition works that way. You know, I get the next step. I know, oh, I feel drawn to move on this project right now. I feel drawn to put my effort and my energy in this space. And then later down the road, I see why that was the perfect timing and why writing that thing right now added up later for this or all the other things. But generally speaking, your intuition tells you the next step. You don't get to know why until you do that step. And sometimes it's obvious right away, like you meet the person at that place and you know all these connections happen. And sometimes it's not until down the road. But if you continue to follow it, you know you're on the right path. Maybe you don't understand why you saw that scenery right now and it all comes into play later. But as long as you keep following it, as long as you actually act on the information that you're getting, then you figure it out. You get to know why, and the goodness comes.
Ah, yes, yes. What's the one thing you've acted on that you're like, if I wouldn't have done that, like, I don't even know where I'd be kind of thing. I'm curious, do you have something that comes to mind?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I can think of a lot, actually, when you said that about a bunch of them flooded through my brain. But one of the things I've been thinking about lately is there was a certain time in my life about 15, I don't know, between 15 and 20 years ago. It was right after, somewhere after I discovered I was empathic, about a year after I realized that was what was going on for me, understood that I was empathic. I was really drawn to spend like a huge amount of time alone. I mean, like I didn't call my mom back like for so long. I didn't even, I would go to potlucks and hang out with my friends and things, but it was so selective. I still remember a girlfriend of mine joking with me. I drove all the way to Colorado to visit her and we were one day going up on this hike and I was like, I have to meet you at the top. Like I had this really this experience that I really needed to be alone and clear out all of these things. And she knew me, you know, she's a good friend of mine and still laughs at me for that of like, okay, see you there. You know, but I was so drawn to that. And it was during that time that I developed and taught myself all of the things that I now teach my empaths in my Empath Intuition University. And I feel like when I reflect on that often, like I had no idea that it was, that that's what I was developing, that I would teach this down the road. It was zero idea. I just had this really strong impulse to really get to know this space internally, externally, to really understand how my abilities worked and what I could do to moderate and manage them and understand and control them. So that one comes to mind really clearly because I truly feel like had I not followed that instinct, I certainly would not be teaching my Empath Intuition University. For sure.
I love that. I love that. And you guys have so many great comments too. I'd love to hear what you guys have taken action on. And we were talking about self-care and Claire wanted to share something new that she does. She says, it makes me feel amazing and like I'm truly loving myself is doing my oil pack at night, at least an hour before I go to bed. So yeah, I love that so much. And Heather says, that's what happened 3 weeks ago when I was mentally pushed off my couch to go into town. I found out later it wasn't for me, but to help a family in need that I met along the way, which is so good. So yeah, share you guys, when did you act on your intuition? You know, I want to hear all about it. And I'm the same as you. There's so many things that I'm like, oh, if I wouldn't have acted. But you know, one story I haven't ever really shared is meeting my husband. And I knew it was time. Like I really did know. I felt like, okay, I'm really going to meet my partner now kind of thing. And I went online, oh God, online dating. And it was so awful. Like in the first 24 hours, I was like, I have to just delete this. Like I just can't. It's too much and too much drama. And I really had this message land, like give it 48 hours, like just give it 48 hours. And so I did, I didn't delete. And I was like going to push the button and intuitively it was like, just wait. And my husband wrote me the next day and that was 4 years ago and we've been together ever since and it was awesome. But you know, it's just one of those moments where it's like, man, if I would have deleted that app, I never would have met him. I never would have connected with him and be where I'm at today. So it's kind of one of those things. You just never know, like when you get those hits, it's like, if you don't trust them, you just don't know what you're blocking or not even blocking, but just not inviting into your life, I feel like.
Totally. There's so many. It just keeps adding up.
It does. You know, what do you tell people when they say like to trust? Because I think for me, like I just trust, like that's the one thing. I am an over analytical mind. And so it's amazing that I do trust, but boy, when I get a message from spirit, I definitely have just always like gut feeling trusted no matter what. But I say that knowing full well that, you know, and I know it's a struggle to trust in those messages. So what's your advice to people who don't trust?
Well, I think I would just use an example from my life because I don't feel like I've always been built this way to understand things. But I also have a very logical mind and practical mind, which is sometimes surprising for people that being a profession that I am as a psychic, but that one way or the other, I remember my most pivotal moment for me happened when I was in my 20s, my late 20s. I remember this meeting this guy and he was attractive, but I kept having this feeling like, no, you over there, you like far away from me. And I kept having this visual of like a 10-foot pole and I could not figure out why. I just like behind the scenes, obviously covertly, like talked to everybody that I knew that knew him. Like we were both environmentalists and that's what I did for a living at that time. And so we had a lot of community in common. So I was like, tell me about this guy. Like, what's, and nobody had anything bad to say. Like, nobody did. But I really felt like at that time, I couldn't fully go with what my intuition was telling me when I had no logical reason. I felt I always, like, I needed a backup logical reason. Anyway, so I overruled my intuition, even though it was so strong. And he was very, I don't know, determined isn't quite the right word, but like he just like was diligent in continuing to pursue me. And eventually I was like, why am I not doing this? He's an attractive guy. Everybody thinks he's a good guy. What's going on? Anyway, a year and a half down the road, it was a drama where he cheated on me and all this stuff. And it's all gone now. But the moment that I knew that happened, I was like, I didn't know why this is just not the road for me. He was a good guy and he did, you know, and in that moment, I understood, wow, I literally could have avoided this completely had I just listened to my intuition. So from that moment on, I understood in a really practical way, like in a tangible way, I don't need a reason to trust my intuition. I never need a reason. If my intuition is telling me something, that is reason enough alone. So I tell that story because I want it to be a story for other people. You don't have to have that drama. You could skip that in your life. Just, you know, use my story and just trust yours and understand you don't have to have a reason. You know, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of times it adds up later. And it will add up later when you're getting the, like, do not do that, which was the message I was getting then. I'm like, don't do that. Do not do it. And then eventually, you know, so you can skip all that. Just let my story be the teacher for all of us. And
oh my gosh. I love it. Well, and I think it gets tangled up too. You know, it's funny talking about all the dating stuff, but it's, you know, I know for me, it was, you were questioning, like I would find myself questioning the relationship, whichever toxic relationship I was in at the time. And I would question why I was in it and question if it was right. Want to know, is this really the person I'm supposed to be with? And at one point, it sort of clicked with me. Oh, wait, maybe my intuition is telling me to question this relationship. And it's not about me asking for, you know, what is wrong, but noticing that I feel like something's wrong. There was something about that was very empowering about recognizing actually the reason I'm spinning is because my intuition is actually telling me like, this isn't aligned, something isn't right here. And I think we forget that, you know, Heather's saying here, intuition is so quiet. We miss it so many times and it's quiet and it also can get tangled up like in our own stuff. We're not recognizing, oh wait, this is actually intuition telling me something. You know, we think, oh, I'm just worried and I'm spinning and I'm wondering if he's gonna call me and all that stuff, but actually, you know, we do know that something's going on. And I think there's so much, it's sort of gaslighting. There's so much gaslighting with like, you know, oh, you're crazy or oh, you always worry or oh, this or oh, that, and like putting off our intuition. And so I think there's a real movement right now to step into your power and say, no, actually, I am not crazy or I'm not worried or I'm not overthinking. I actually am feeling something and it's how we listen to it. So how do you recommend people engage with what's actually going on inside versus what's happening emotionally or what you're tangled up in with your like mental state?
Well, I think you need to get quiet. when I first started teaching Own Your Intuition, I had one of the things that I teach is meditation, and I don't really right now teach meditation or guide meditations, but I mean, I guess that's not totally true, but anyway, I understand the importance of it. And for me, it seemed like initially I felt like this is something like so sacred and precious to me. It felt weird to say everybody needs to do this, but then I realized it's fundamental to being able to be quiet, being able to be within your space or even just within your thoughts. And, you know, it doesn't, no, I think for anybody, you can say meditation doesn't always look like, and nothing's happening. Like, it's totally quiet in there. Sometimes you're like, oh, I got to do, oh, did he bring his raincoat? Or like, there's stuff happening in the mind. However, that consistent practice of turning in and allowing it to be quiet, or allowing you to return to, whether it's a mantra or silence or your breath or whatever it is that helps you, is a way of clearing so many things, so many extra benefits that we don't even know for sure. I mean, that we can't quite identify with. Like, for example, I noticed when I meditate a lot, things don't bother me as much as they do. Like I have like extra patience with my children when I'm, you know, I have like this, I've kind of noticed I have like a four, like if I say the thing four times, I'm like, I'm okay until four. And then once that, and then I'm like, this is now starting to get irritating. I have told you how many times. But if I'm meditating a lot, I just, even that four will, you know, I'm just like, I have much more spaciousness. So, you know, there's all kinds of things now. Studies show how good it is for you. There's all kinds of studies about what happens in the brain and what happens in the body. And I find all of those really fascinating. But I also think it's so good on so many levels, including for clearing energy and getting to, I don't know, it sort of like gets you to the heart of yourself. Even if it doesn't look like that when you're doing it, even if I guess I want to be clear that you're not always sitting there and it's like, oh, and nothing else. Even so, it's doing for you on an energetic level. So that's a practice that I feel is so, so, so key. And I've had so many students throughout the years have their life literally transformed from taking up that one thing. And so it helps in just so, so many ways. And it definitely helps clear the extra.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I love that. And I'm so glad you said that. Cause yeah, you know, I don't know how this works for you, but for me, like when I go to meditate, it's like, as soon as I get my mind clear, spirit sort of comes in, and all of a sudden there's, you know, a spirit guide or a loved one or something. So it's almost like it's like these layers I have to clear out to even get to like a silent space. So it's not often that I'm in a silent space, I feel like. So I'm glad that you said that, because it really isn't. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, except for, yes, I totally get that. But the one thing that is different is there's no external input coming at you in that moment. It might not be silent inside of your head, and there's maybe layers of things that are happening, but that couldn't, even those layers couldn't be happening if like the music was on, or the, you know, somebody was talking to you, or you were reading something or doing something like that. So I think it's a perfect illustration what you're mentioning of, maybe even there's layers of things that happen in your meditation. Maybe you're sounds like for you, there's a little bit of working going on, working in your meditation, but one way or the other, the difference is there is a tuning out of this, of what's around.
Totally. And look at all these great comments. You guys are such good participators. Karen says, trust your intuition, even when everyone around you doesn't understand it, doesn't understand why you're acting or not acting when they think it should be otherwise. So true. And Claire says, I feel like doubting my intuition for years because I squashed it to be loved and accepted by my family has resulted in me gaslighting myself in a few relationships since my divorce. Oh my gosh. Yes to both of you guys. It's true. We put our stuff away. Like I did in my first marriage, like I put my psychic gifts away. And then I recognized like when I opened them up, and it sort of was like, I couldn't deny it anymore, and started doing my spiritual work and working with people and doing readings. You know, that was when that marriage fell apart. And it was because I think I was hiding from the toxicity and hiding. I mean, so I think we hide and ignore, deny our intuition and our empathic nature, because it's sometimes it's easier to do that. And then you get to a point where you just can't anymore, don't you think?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Oh my gosh. Well, I want to give you some space here to share what's upcoming. Like, what do you have coming up? What are you up to? And how can folks connect with you? I mean, of course, your info is in the notes and everything, but it's always worth saying.
Yeah, totally. The biggest thing I have upcoming is my Empath Intuition program. Intuition University. The next one starts at the end of March, March 22nd. It's Mondays. This time it's going to be on Mondays, every other Monday. And like I kind of already detailed it at the beginning. So I think you guys get it. Check out my website if you want some more information on it. But I love both of my programs so much. And I love teaching it. I love seeing the difference in people when they learn these techniques. And it's just so empowering to watch them. Like everybody has to do an application for any of my programs. And one of the reasons that I do that is because you're so different by the end. Sometimes you forget the things that were challenging you at the beginning. Mm-hmm. We're really in the process with my current group of empaths. We're nearing the end, and it's just such this beautiful space to be able to see them, to witness them mastering all these tools and having everything come together and having them understand how to manage their own energy, how to protect themselves, but even like how to know themselves, really. It's, to me, it's so much about that. It's not just about, you know, protecting yourself from somebody else's weird bad day or whatever. And so that's really exciting to me that is my favorite thing that I have coming up, because I have a new program starting in March, and it's just always so fun because the process is so transformational for me. It's so fun to see the beginning, and it's so fun to see the end where things are just so different. So
that's exciting. Well, and the timing of this is really good then too. So everybody who's watching, you can jump in. And I love that so much. And I just love you. I mean, I was so happy it was your energy today. I mean, it's just been a busy week. I feel like, doesn't it feel like it's just been a really busy, crazy week this week energetically? And so I'm just happy to have you here as always. Do you have what is your words of wisdom for us?
Good question. I think I would go back to the little things, like just focus on the little tiny things sweet that you can do for yourself. Like we all need that right now, whether you're in the time of like building a project and it's all exciting and scintillating, to use the word I use, or whether you're still healing or you're needing to be healed. I really just tiny little baby steps to get you where you're going. Tiny little things, noticing what's interesting and what's lovely to you, and, you know, setting out your water before bed or whatever it is that works for you. Tennis ball on your feet. That's another one of my favorites. Mm. I would end by saying that little things make a big difference, and they add up. And most things that I have discovered in my life, especially when we're talking about intuition or psychic gifts, they're actually really simple and easy. So if you can allow yourself to get in with the simple and easy, you're on the step to so many things opening, truly.
I love that. That's brilliant, brilliantly said and wonderful. And thank you so much for being here and for everybody, your participation, you guys, so great. And I would love to share, if you guys are in the Ajatakasha community, you can join the Buddhist Biohacker group. That's our new official forum. And maybe you guys can share some of your simple things in there. I'd love to see what you guys have to say and what you have to share. And if you haven't gotten into the community yet and you're looking for a space to connect that does not have algorithms and ads and spam content and weird stuff, like, come join us over there. It's free to join. It's amazing in there. So I'll share that. And Amy, I hope you come back this year. We'll have to figure out some more, something else to do here.
I love our conversations. They're so fun.
Oh, I love them too. And like I said, you're just, you know what it is? Let me just say about you. There is a saying that a yoga teacher said years and years ago. It was really random too. It was like not it was one class that I went to with some teacher. It was like not anyone I followed or went to multiple times or anything. But they said something about Shavasana at the end of class. And when I became a yoga teacher a few years ago, I say it at the end of every single class. And it literally describes you when you talk and your energy. And what the saying is, you know, Shavasana, it's the cool drink of water at the end of your practice. It's that, mm-hmm. and that's what you are. Like when you talk, it makes me tear up for some reason, but like when you talk and your energy, it's like this just refreshing, cool drink of water at the end of the day. And I love that because it's so what you were talking about with your water glass too. And I don't know why I'm crying so weird.
So touching to me too. Thank you.
So weird. Oh my God. I love you so much though. I mean, it really is. That's exactly how it feels to me. It's like, and you know, what's funny is every yoga class I teach in a studio, I say that I'm going to start doing it on my yoga videos, I guess, but cause it is, it's just this moment of peace. Mm. Isn't it? Anyway. Totally. What the heck? Welcome to Lisa's end of the week. I'm like crying on my own show. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm sure we'll get together soon. And thank you for everybody who's watching. I love all of you guys on here as well. And we'll be back next week. All new shows next week. And so much love to you, Amy, and to everybody out there. Have an amazing, amazing night and weekend. Yeah. Mwah.